Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the fourth quarter and year-ended FY23 earnings conference call of Chalet Hotels Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Sanjay Sethi, MD and CEO, Chalet Hotels Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you so much, ma'am. Good afternoon, good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the earnings call of Chalet Hotels Limited for the quarter, for the last quarter of the financial year 2023. It has been an exceptionally good year. We ended the financial year on a strong note with historical highs in our financial performance. Our earnings call presentation has been uploaded on our website for your reference. Do take some time to look at the details there. Very quickly, to summarize the year that's gone by, to begin with, we signed our first asset in North India with the proposed new hotel at the Delhi Airport. We marked our debut in leisure with the acquisition of the Rives Retreat at Lonavala. We made strong inroads towards our sustainability goals, and very importantly, cracked the rupees 5 billion EBITDA ceiling for the year. We've also made substantial progress towards unlocking value from our new projects in hospitality, residential, and office real estate at Hyderabad, Bengaluru, and Mumbai. The acquisition of the iconic resort property in Lonavala region, the Rives Retreat, marks our foray into leisure segment. The Rives Retreat has built a very deep connection with its guests over the last 40 years, and with its breathtaking views serving as a backdrop, our vision for the retreat involves repositioning it through renovations and expansions, transforming it into a luxurious wellness destination that embodies a strong commitment to sustainability. We will be expanding the room inventory by approximately 50 rooms over there. At a macro level, the hospitality industry in general, in U.S., select European nation regions, has been moving in a very strong and positive direction, with some regions touching record average room rates. The same momentum has also been seen in the Indian industry, with average room rates touching decadal highs, with occupancies also at very healthy levels. Air traffic in the country has touched a new peak in March 2023, fueled by double-digit growth in domestic travel and recovery of international traffic. International passenger traffic recovery was around 90% to the pre-COVID levels in the month of March. Despite new supply, office space occupancy in the top six cities remained strong at around 84%, as reported by Colliers during the quarter ended March 2023. For Chalet, the robust pickup in demand seen in Q3 of FY23 continued in Q4 of FY23, largely led by corporate travel, MICE, weddings, and other social events. Q4 recorded new highs in average room rates at rupees 11,304, which is up by 11% over the previous quarter. Portfolio average room rates crossed 12,000 rupee levels in the month of February. Occupancy improved 9 percentage points QoQ to 74%, leading to a highest-ever quarterly RevPAR of rupees 8,363. Hospitality segment revenue grew by 17% sequentially to rupees 3.1 billion. Room revenue grew by 23% over the previous quarter, while costs remained well under control, resulting in high flow-through during the quarter. The portfolio F&B revenue was about rupees 1 billion, which is again higher by 6% over the previous quarter. EBITDA for hospitality division was rupees 1.5 billion, with the highest-ever EBITDA margin of 48%. Consolidated revenue for the quarter was at rupees 3.5 billion, with an EBITDA of rupees 1.6 billion. The EBITDA margin was 46%. This is the highest revenue and EBITDA for the company in a single quarter till date. For the full year, average room rates were again at a decadal high of rupees 9,169, with an occupancy of 72%. Hospitality revenue and EBITDA were at a lifetime high of rupees 10 billion and rupees 4 billion respectively, with EBITDA margin at 42%. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm delighted to share that on a consolidated level, EBITDA for the company crossed the rupees 5 billion mark with an EBITDA margin of 43% for the year. Now coming and sharing with you a quick update on our project pipeline. In the hospitality side of the pipeline, our additional 88 rooms at Novotel Pune are ready, and we are awaiting the final OC of the building to start commercial use. The new Westin Hi-Tech Hyderabad with 168 rooms is in the process of being handed over to the operator this month and will be operational from next month. At Westin Mumbai Powai, the newly renovated rooms have been handed over to the hotel team in January, and I'm happy to share that the response has been extremely positive over there. In fact, the response at Westin Powai Mumbai has been very positive, and it sort of confirms our belief in that asset, which is the largest asset in the country, and also it has reaffirmed the position that we took of changing the brand from Renaissance to Westin around 3 years back. The project work at the luxury hotel at Delhi Airport with about 400 rooms is as per schedule, with expected completion in the financial year 26. The 140-room expansion at Bangalore Marriott is in final design stage and will be submitting a plan for approval later this month. On the commercial office real estate that we have, our commercial tower at Westin Complex Powai is in the final stage of completion, and we should be able to hand it over sometime early next quarter to the leasing team for leasing of the space after those he's received. However, we already have a reasonably strong pipeline of interest for almost about 300,000 square foot on this asset. At the commercial tower in Bangalore in the Marriott complex, handover to tenants has commenced, and for the mall that has been converted to the office building, the handover to tenants is likely to commence late next quarter. For the residential project of Bangalore, and I think that's a key element of our project work that we are having, and it's going to make a material difference to our P&L for the next few years. The RERA registration has been received. Construction work is on schedule, and the market rollout is scheduled to commence from July of this year. We are happy to share that we have significantly improved our score this year on the Dow Jones Sustainability Index to 43 from last year's score of 31. This, by the way, is a 39% improvement, and we are well above mean scores of the hospitality industry in the DJSI index. We are also proud to share with you that 75% of our power sourced was sourced through renewable resources for the month of March 2023. And when I say 75% of the power, I'm talking about full hotel portfolio is included in that. And none of it was through any green certificates. This is genuine third-party green power that we're using. Ladies and gentlemen, at present, we have multiple projects in final stages of completion with capital spends of over 1,200 crores till date. These assets will start contributing to our P&L in the next few months. In particular, the new hotel in Hyderabad, the residential asset in Bangalore, and the office assets in Mumbai and Bangalore are likely to make material improvement in our financial numbers. As we enter the new financial year, we remain committed to enhancing our operational efficiencies, execution of ongoing projects, and sustaining momentum through both organic and inorganic growth opportunities. On that positive note, I'll now hand over the baton to Milind, who will take you some more financial highlights. Milind.
Thank you, Sanjay. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. As Sanjay mentioned, the company thrived in post-pandemic world and crossed rupees 5 billion EBITDA milestone in the financial year FY23. The EBITDA and EBITDA margins will improve further with the operationalization of all new investment in commercial office building and hotels. These investments of about 12 billion today are likely to generate a stabilized return of approximately 20% on invested capital. Most of these assets are getting operationalized in FY24. As Sanjay has covered most of the financial numbers, let me give you key financial highlights. Hospitality segment reported the highest ever EBITDA margin for the quarter at 48%, setting a new industry benchmark. Margins were higher by 7 percentage points from previous quarter, led by resilient ADR and prudent cost management. Hospitality EBITDA for the quarter increased by 36% sequentially. Hospitality revenue crossed rupees 10 billion mark for the year FY23. Three of our properties, that is JW Sahar, West in Hyderabad, and Novotel Pune, reported highest ever revenue and EBITDA for the quarter and financial year. Hospitality EBITDA for the year was 4.3 billion, led by efficiency in two major cost areas, that is payroll at 12% of revenue and utilities at 5.8% of revenue, creating new industry benchmark. Consolidated revenue for the year was 12 billion. PAT of 1.9 billion for the financial year FY23 is a strong recovery from the cumulative losses of 2.1 billion in the previous 2 years. EPS was at rupees 9.06 for the financial year FY23. The net worth of the entity is back to pre-pandemic level at 15.5 billion. Net debt of the company increased by rupees 2 billion in the last financial year to 24 billion as at 31st March 23. The company spent 6 billion, which includes capital expenditure of 4.4 billion and acquisition cost of Duke's Retreat of 1.6 billion. This was largely funded by internal accruals and working capital management. Out of the total debt of 24 billion, half is allocable to new investments in office buildings under construction, new hotel projects and hotel expansion. The cost of finance as at March 23 is at 8.75% against 7.5% at the beginning of the year. This is in the backdrop of an overall increase in repo rate of 250 basis points in the same period. The company is expected to convert rupees 12 billion to LRD in FY24, which will reduce the average cost of finance for the company. The company has capex plan of around 6 billion for FY24 for the projects that have been announced till March, This includes capex of 2.8 billion on commercial project, including second commercial tower at Powai. The balance 3.2 billion includes spillover capex of New Westin Hotel at Hyderabad, hotel expansion at Pune, capex on new hotel in Delhi, and expansion of Marriott Hotel in Bangalore. Business is well funded with internal accruals and available lines of credit. This is the first phase of multi-year high growth cycle for the hospitality industry. Now let me give you few updates on Koramangala residential project. The promoters are committed to fund project cost. There has been no new subscription from promoters on 0% non-convertible redeemable preferences during the quarter under review. The total subscription stands at rupees 2000 million and the promoters have given rupees 450 million as interest-free ICD as at March 23. We have received RERA approval for the modified development plan. Based on the internal market assessment done by our residential team, the selling price per square feet is seen upward of rupees 16,000 rupees per square feet of sellable area. The cash generated from sale is expected to be cash and EBITDA accretive to Chalet. With this, let me open the floor for question and answer.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have a first question from the line of Vikas Ahuja from Antique Stock Broking. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. I hope you can hear me.
Vikas, we can hear you. Go ahead.
Yes. Yeah. My first question is regarding the occupancy of southern markets, Bangalore and Hyderabad. Although we have seen a strong pickup in Mumbai and Pune, but those two markets still remain below the average. So, you know, how should we look at going forward into FY24? Where do you think, you know, this number can go? That's my question number one.
Because thank you for your question. Mumbai has done exceptionally well with the occupancies in Q4 at 77%. Bangalore and Hyderabad are markets which are sensitive to holidays and holiday seasons, and therefore in Q4 the start of the quarter was a little slow because foreigners take a little while after the New Year's to come back to travel. But then subsequently in the second half of January and then February were extremely good. In fact, February turned out to be brilliant in all our tests. Having said that, I think you will see marked improvement in occupancies of both Bangalore and Hyderabad. Especially Bangalore seen a significant improvement in the last couple of months. And we're very excited about the demand pickup and back to recovery in Bangalore.
Sure. Thank you. My second question is regarding the seasonality. So when we go from Q4 to Q1, we normally see a 15% to 20% decline in RevPAR. And it's, as I said, it's largely because of seasonality. So, you know, because we are in a different times now and just trying to understand whether we will see the same seasonality this time as well, or you think, you know, demand continues to remain very strong and this time the drop won't be that much.
So because I don't want to comment on forward-looking numbers, but look, the seasonal trends that are typical for India for both business and leisure travel will continue. The difference could be less this time around, but do expect Q1 and Q2 to be always lower than Q3 and Q4.
Sure. Thank you. And my final question is on the F&B revenue, which came around mid-single digits, while the overall RevPAR growth was 25% above on sequential basis. What was the reason for lower growth in F&B revenues?
So look, the growth in F&B revenues between Q3 and Q4 still is 6%. And remember, Q3 came off a high base because that was the period for several weddings, etc., that happened. So it's unfair to compare Q4 to Q3. And the fact that Q4 managed to report 6% growth on Q3, where the banquet season was at its peak, is itself is commendable. So I see this as a positive.
Okay. But I think that same applies to the ADRs as well, right? Which was around to 10,200 and it moved to 11,300.
ADRs are driven by rooms, room demand.
Yeah.
Driven
by
business travelers. F&B was driven by social events, which are basically locals who use the auspicious days of weddings to host the events. And both the JW Marriott at the airport in Mumbai and the Westin Powai did exceptionally well with weddings during the quarter three. So coming off a strong base, I think the fact that quarter four has managed to improve the revenues by another 6% is quite commendable.
Okay. Sorry, if I can squeeze in one last question. As we already in the middle of May, Are we seeing any difference now in terms of, the occupancies or the pricing in different markets, whether, Mumbai has dropped or Bangalore has improved? Are we seeing any stark differences from the trend we have been seeing in past two, three quarters? And that's about it. Thanks a lot.
Vikas, thank you for your questions. But look, we're not in a position to share numbers at this time with you because we've not really released those numbers to the market in general, so we're restricted. As I said, expect Q1, Q2 to be lower than Q3, Q4. My sense is that the gap is not going to be 15%. It should be a little more balanced than that. We can move on to the next.
Sure, sure, sir. Thanks a lot. Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Karan Khanna from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity and congratulations on the best ever quarter. Sanjay, you spoke about the hospitality outlook for FY24 and beyond, but from a strategic perspective, while most of the hoteliers are expanding in Tier 2 and Tier 3 cities and beyond, with smaller hotels, Chalet's pipeline is focused on Tier 1 big box hotels. So if you could help us understand more in terms of your current model, will that work better than expanding in smaller cities but with scale? Hello?
Sorry, Karan, I was on mute. Thank you for your question and thank you for the congratulations. Let me just remind you that the last two hotels that we've commissioned or acquired are in Tier 2 locations. Pune Novotel was in a Tier 2 city, and the recent acquisition, the Duke's Retreat, is indeed in a secondary or tertiary market. So we believe there is strength in some Tier 2 and tertiary cities, but we'd like to be very, very careful not to go and increase supply in some of these cities because they come from low base, and if you continue to increase supply, the city itself could suffer. So in both cases, we've actually picked up existing supply as against adding supply to these Tier 2 tertiary locations. But to answer your questions, are we looking at Tier 2 and tertiary cities? Absolutely. And the outcome is in front of you.
Sure. Thanks for the clarification. And just continuing on the Duke's acquisition, which has been an opportune acquisition for Chalet, but it also marks your entry into the leisure segment through a smaller hotel. So is it fair to assume that right now you're testing the waters in the leisure market and hence you've gone with a smaller hotel compared to the rest of your portfolio? And inherently, as you start witnessing potential turnaround or possible success in the leisure segment, you look to add further hotels in this segment? And if so, which are the markets that you're actively evaluating at this point?
So Karan, we are going to stay consistent with our stated strategy that we'd like to be in leisure destinations which are in drivable distance from Mumbai and a couple of other big cities around the country. And we'd like to look at Goa and Rajasthan as the two other leisure destinations that we'd like to focus on. I don't think this strategy has changed for the last three, 4 years now. And what we've done at Duke's is consistent with that. We continue to look for opportunities in Goa and Jaipur, etc. As and when we have some opportunities, we'll look at them. This is not by design that we got Duke's first and we wanted to test waters. It's just that we were able to execute this first.
Sure. On commercial real estate, you have closer to 2 million sq ft that's hitting the market in FY24. And if I look at the outlook for commercial real estate, it doesn't seem as positive when we look at some of the incumbents in Bangalore even suggesting possible extra exits than contractual in the year. In that context, I wanted to understand your standpoint on CRE demands for Chalet and visibility in terms of leasing potential tenants or opportunities that you're seeing. And Milind, if you could also talk about the pending CapEx for the Four Cygnus Towers in Bangalore and Bombay.
So Karan, I don't think we have any major concern on the it's 1.5 million that's coming in play in this year, not 2 million. Roughly around 1 million or 0.95 in Bangalore and 0.78 in Mumbai. I don't know whether you've seen a recent report, I'm trying to dig that out whilst we speak, which had given, it was I think a TV report that had come out on the television and CNBC, where they'd given the leasing traction of big cities in India. And you'd be surprised to know that Bangalore was the highest in the lot, with the absorption as high as, I think, 17% increase on the year, which is very strong. So we've positioned our office assets at the right locations, because Bangalore was number one, followed by Delhi and followed by Mumbai. So within the top three cities that are listed as the with the most demand in office space, two of the cities are where we are launching these office assets. You had a question from Milind.
Karan, to add further to what Sanjay said, Whitefield is connected on metro now. So demand in Whitefield is expected, demand for commercial office space is expected to go up in Whitefield. On pending capex on these two projects, I mean, commercial tower is almost ready at Bangalore, and we have some spillover capex to be spent. Repurposed mall will be ready in quarter or so, and Powai commercial tower will be ready in one quarter. So all put together, including spillover capex, we'll be spending around 250 crore rupees.
Sure. And last question, so you exited FY23 with an annual EBITDA of 500 crores and debt at 2,300 crores. So internally, while thinking about expansion and greenfield asset acquisition, what sort of a debt EBITDA multiple or metrics are you comfortable with while evaluating fresh projects? That would be my last question. Thank you.
So Karan, we are aware of the fact that the investment community prefers debt EBITDA ratio to be not too much north of 3.5x, and we are conscious and we are working towards that. You see, a lot of the capex that we put in play, as I mentioned in my opening statement, is coming into fruition in the next few months. It's 1,200 crores of capex that we've already spent. I think a couple of hundred more to be spent on these assets, and we are targeting 20% EBITDA by capital employed numbers on these assets. So clearly there's enough return that they're going to generate, enough EBITDA to sustain their costs. And you've got to remember that because a couple of these assets are office assets, the debt will convert to LRDA form there, where the cost of capital will reduce significantly for us. So we see a lot of comfort in where we stand today. And the accruals that we are creating now will give us headroom for growth going forward beyond the 1,100 rooms that we have in the pipeline right now as we speak, and the 2 million square foot office space that we have, 2.5 million square foot office space that we have as prospective office growth.
Current out of 2,400 debt today, I mean 1,200 crore is for assets which are not yet operationalized. So we have to compare 500 crore EBITDA with debt of 1,200 crore.
Sure. Thanks for the clarification, Mulu. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Jinesh Joshi from Prabhudas Liladhar. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. I have a bookkeeping question on this inventory write-down of 18 crores, which has happened in this quarter due to revision in the project completion cost.
I'll have to request you to repeat that because your voice is not coming through clear.
Am I audible now?
Yeah, better.
Yeah, yeah. So basically, I had a question on this inventory write-down of 18 crores, which is offered in this quarter due to revision in the project completion cost. But if I look at the current PPT, we have stated that the cost of completion is about 425 crores, which is similar to what we had reported in the last quarter as well. So just wanted to understand this aspect on write-down a bit better.
So, Jinesh, this is one of the accounting requirement. Whenever these flats, this write-off pertains to flats which were sold 5-7 years back, and those were, say, sold at very low rate. Now, the cost per square feet based on revised budget is slightly higher than the selling price. Hence, as per accounting standard, we have created this provision for impairment. This is called NRV, Net Realizable Value provision.
Sure, for that. And secondly, with respect to the commercial assets, I mean, I believe in the PPT, we have stated that the project in Bangalore of about 0.65 million sq ft, the handover has already been commenced. So the question is, how much area have we been able to lease out so far? And secondly, the other asset which got repurposed very recently, in the last PPT, we had stated that the handover might begin in 1Q. But apparently, now it seems to have got postponed to 2Q FY24. So any specific reason out there? And one follow-up on this part is pertaining to the LRD debt of about 1,200 crore, which will get converted in FY24, which you mentioned in the opening remarks itself. So what kind of interest cost reduction will we get because of this?
So Jinesh, to answer your first part of the question, and we might have missed something because your voice is still breaking up. The Bengaluru leasing that you were asking for is roughly about 1.5 lakh sq ft that we've done with the anchor client. They may be looking at another 40,000 sq ft more. And then we've got interest from another three, four clients for taking up the balance, majority of the balance area in the new IT tower. Then there is the mall which is getting converted to office. There, we haven't started the leasing activity as yet. There's still some work that is getting completed. And once that is completed, we will open this out to potential tenants. To answer your LRD question, Milind will come in with the cost of capital there.
See, I mean, LRD entitlement is to the extent of 6.5-7 times of EBITDA or rentals earned. And the cost arbitrage ranges between 50-75 basis points.
Sure. One last bookkeeping question from my side. In the opening remarks, you had guided for a CapEx of about 600 crore in FY24, out of which roughly 280 crore will be on the commercial project in Powai, which is Tower 2. So can you just highlight what will be the total CapEx for this project and the operational timeline, an indicative operational timeline if you can share? That is the last question from my side.
I'll cover the operational timelines. In fact, just had some updates on that. We expect to start work on site in the middle of this calendar year. And we're expecting to complete this project in roughly around 33 months. Milind, total project cost.
So total CapEx for commercial office buildings will be around 280 crore, which includes Powai, Bangalore, both phases, I mean, commercial tower as well as repurposed mall. And we'll be spending 40 crore rupees on commercial tower, new commercial tower at Powai. And we'll be spending.
Just one minute. He wants to know the total project cost for the new second commercial tower at Powai.
Second commercial tower, including interest and approval cost, will be in the range of 700 crore.
Sure, sir. Thank you so much.
Yeah, that's over 3 years.
That's over 3 years.
Yes, yes. Got it. Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Sakshi Chhabra from Swan Investments. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Congratulations on a great set of numbers. So my first question was, I wanted to understand that what would be the trajectory for the average room rates for the coming year?
So Sakshi, I think the average room rates have been going extremely well. If you look at the history of the average room rates on a month-by-month basis, we have a fair amount of traction building up. And if I was to break it up on your quarter four numbers, January, we hit 10,462. February, we hit 12,239. And March, we were at 11,160. So average for the quarter was 11,304. As we said earlier, quarter one and quarter two, we do traditionally see dips and expect some dip on this going forward for the first two quarters of the year. But then the growth in quarter three and quarter four will be higher than what we did in quarter three and quarter four of FY 2023.
Okay, but like, can you give, I mean, approximately, can the price increase like by around 10%?
So, price increase has already come in the January to March numbers, Sakshi.
Right.
The next increase will happen in January next year.
Okay, understood.
So, and I do not want to give any forward-looking average room rates right now.
Okay. So I wanted to understand that, in Bangalore and in Powai, what would be the commercial rates that we could expect?
So Bangalore, we are targeting about 60-62 rupees a sq ft.
Okay.
Powai, around the 120-125 mark. This is on leasable area, and the efficiencies on leasable area is what? 70%.
Okay.
Carpet.
So we have leasable area of around 1 million in Bangalore and 0.8 million in Powai.
Okay, understood. And the 88 rooms in Pune, I understand that you are waiting for the OC. So by when do you think that those rooms can be operational?
Within this month.
Okay. All right.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Hrishikesh Bhagat from Kotak Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for the opportunity. So a few questions. Firstly, when I look at the foreign tourist, clearly that stays at 37%, fairly below our usual trend. Now, clearly, one thing I want to understand whether, when do you expect normalization of the same? And secondly, is it 37%, have you seen across the most of the markets, or probably some markets have already reached to the normalization level and some are lagging significantly? So some insight on that front.
Yeah. So I don't have the exact breakup, but Powai typically, our Westin Powai typically has a lower foreigners to Indian ratio. Indians are higher because of the nature of the banquet events that we have there, conventions, et cetera, which are largely domestic. Hyderabad, Bengaluru typically have higher percentages of foreigners in our hotels. And I think that's picking up very rapidly. Now, in fact, the reason Bangalore took longer than most of the markets to pick up was because the foreign business travel took time to come back. But now we see that Marriott's Whitefield is doing extremely well, and that's being driven by foreign travelers coming back. So there is a bit of variation across properties, and I think it's not even hotels, it is not city specific, it's more hotel specific. Clearly, with 772 rooms invested in Powai, which is a significant part of the inventory, if that is lower, that tends to bring the average down. But Marriott Whitefield will continue to have more majority of the booked guests as foreigners over there.
Okay. I think it would be great if you continue to publish this information in your investor deck. It's really helpful.
Hrishikesh, just one more input I want to give you, that what's happened is, since the pre-pandemic time, we've also acquired the Novotel Pune. Now, the Novotel Pune has primarily domestic guests. So the ratio, if we look at it, you'll have to then look at it from the like to like or apple to apple hotel set, as against-
Right.
Looking at a combined portfolio.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. So, okay, thanks. The second question is, you spoke about additions of rooms to Dukes also. Now, can this addition happen by continuing the operation, or do you think we will have to shut down the operation when this addition happens?
So, Hrishikesh, we are also planning to reposition the hotel, or the resort through major renovations. And the way we've planned it is that we'll take 60% of the inventory out. At that time, we'll renovate this inventory of 60% in some F&B areas and use that same time to add the rooms, additional rooms. So if we take 60% out, which means 48 rooms will be out of action, but when they come back, they'll come back as 48 plus 40, 48. So that's 96 rooms, which is significantly higher, 20% higher than what we have current inventory. And that's when the balance 32 rooms are going to renovation.
Okay. And the last question on the 600 crore CapEx guidance. So does it capture your any CapEx or likely CapEx on Airoli as well as Delhi, or do you think that could be further upside on the CapEx?
Million.
As and when that much.
Yeah, Hrishikesh, I mean, our 600 CapEx also includes Airoli, Duke's renovation as well as some capital expenditure on New Delhi hotel.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure management is able to answer queries from all participants, kindly restrict your questions to two at a time. You may join back the queue for follow-up questions. We'll take our next question from the line of Rajiv B. from DAM Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir, and thanks for the opportunity and congratulations on great set of numbers. Sir, on your CapEx bit, if I remember right, your CapEx for FY 2023 was planned to be close to 500 odd crores, right? You have done something like 587 odd crores. So, have we shot higher on some of these, or this Powai Tower 2 is basically has got some CapEx in FY 2023 done as well?
No, so we haven't. All our CapEx, our projects are within their defined cost budgets. But I'll let Milind give you the breakup of the increase, if any, is what. The difference is what, 50-60 crores. That could be on account of acquisition dues?
Yes.
Yes, you want to explain that?
So total CapEx of 600 crores for financial year 2023 includes 160 crore rupees for Duke's acquisition cost. And the balance was for projects. So maybe.
So if you look at slide 20 in your presentation, you will actually find some of the parts on the debt over there, where you'll find that the CapEx that we put in for Duke's is 158-159 crores. And then there's 440 crores towards other growth projects. And that sort of will give you the breakup.
So Rajiv, I mean, the difference of our guidance of 500 and actual 440 crore spend, and something is lying as creditors, which will be paid in next few days.
Sure. And also, on the DIAL thing, have we finalized the flag there? In the sense, will it be domestic or an international?
We should have that in place in the next few days.
Sure. And in one of your slides, the timeline of the Powai second tower is FY 2026, it shows.
Yeah.
And you said, you know, the CapEx is 3 years.
Yes. Initially, I was just, so 2023 is because FY 2024 is also getting consumed, right? So it's 2024, 2025, and 2026. 33 months is the total project time. Earlier in NBSR that we might start around October of this year, but looks like we'll be able to start around 2 or 3 months earlier. But we are, we believe that in 33 to 36 months' time, we'll complete this project. So end of FY 2026 is when we see this completion.
Sure. Thanks a lot. That's all from my side.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Siddesh, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi. Congratulations on the revenue. I would like to inquire about the breakdown of our capital expenditure by project and property for the current year, and also request information on the anticipated timeline for when we can expect to see the effects of this expenditure reflected in our EBITDA levels.
So I'll let Milind first give you the breakup of the CapEx expenditure, and he'll give you completion dates also so that you can get a sense of that.
So Siddesh, 240 crore rupees will spend on Powai commercial and Bangalore commercial, and both are expected to be operational in first or second quarter of FY 24. 200 crore rupees will spend for hotels, which includes DIAL, Duke's, Airoli, and some spillover CapEx for our Westin Hotel and Novotel Hotel. We will undertake some renovation at our existing properties, and we'll spend around 65 crore rupees on that. So all put together, our CapEx plan is for 600 crore for the year.
But Milind, that's for this year. He wants to know what's the project-wise CapEx plan.
Okay. See, our total CapEx plan for next 5 years is around 2,000 crore rupees. Out of 2,000, 1,000 crore rupees is for commercial office buildings, which includes new commercial tower at Powai. 750 crore rupees for hotels, which includes Dial, Dukes, Airoli, and addition of 140 keys in Bangalore. And we'll spend around 125 crore rupees on renovation of existing property.
Okay, and while doing renovation at Duke's Retreat, are we expecting any effects on the existing room capacity?
Sorry, I missed that. Could you repeat your question, please?
While doing renovations at the Duke's property, while expanding the capacity at Duke's, are we expecting any restrictions on the current room capacity available over there?
So as I explained earlier, we will take 60% of the inventory out in phase one and operate 40% of the inventory. And when that 60% comes back, which is 48 rooms, it will also come back with the expected 48 to 50 additional rooms that we are planning there. So it will come back as 96 to 98 rooms, which will be 20% higher than the total capacity right now. And subsequent to that, the 32 rooms will get renovated. We are going to do this in two phases, Sudesha. This is still being worked out. We are on the drawing board stage. Let us come back with, to you with a far more firmer plan by the end of this quarter.
Perfect. Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Vikas Ahuja from Antique Stock Broking. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my question again. So just one bookkeeping question. This is for Milan. And so this 1.8 million square feet commercial we are planning to add in FY24 and FY25 another. What is the occupancy assumptions we could work with? Because you talked about in Q1, Q2, you know, the Powai and Whitefield, Bangalore will come. But for the whole year, what kind of occupancy assumption should we work with?
See, because in our financial modeling, and group has more than 33 million commercial office space. So we take 3% perpetual vacancy. So we...
But he's asking more about the build-up, how this is occupancy is going to build up there.
Okay. So Bangalore, we expect in next 6 months, Bangalore Commercial Tower, next 6 months will lease out around 85%. By March, I mean, we should have revenue kicking in. Bangalore Repurpose Mall should start from next 6 months. So more than 75% of that will be leased out in next 6 months. And Powai build-up will be 25% in March 24, 25%. I mean, this is revenue earning after fit-out period. 25%
in... should give the leasing timelines, not the revenue timelines here, because you anyway straight line your accounting, right?
Yeah. So leasing timelines by September 23, we should lease out more than 25% in Powai. By December, additional 25%, and balance 47% by March or so.
Okay, thank you. And one lastly, I mean, do we have any land parcel left to add any more commercial, or we have exhausted all with the you know adding by adding 3 million square feet by end of FY26? So largely, it will take care of all the land parcels we have. Am I correct on that?
So yeah, before we got into this question with you, I just want to clarify on page 7, whilst Milind was reading out the timeline. I realize this is a typo, that 0.8 million square foot of Cygnus Powai Tower 2 says FY25, that's an error. That will actually get completed, as you said, in 3 years from starting of middle of this year. So please factor that in. Please go ahead with a new question, please.
The next one was regarding the land parcel for adding any other commercial. We have exhausted all, right? Or do we have any more?
Because, as you know, this commercial assets that we're developing are all on existing land parcels where our hotels exist. And the whole idea was to sweat the real estate of that particular hotel land parcel. and build complementary assets that complement the hotel in terms of demand expansion. So that's worked very favorably wherever we've looked at it. And we expect this to contribute significantly as these offices get operationalized. Coming to your question, whether we have any more land parcels, look, as things stand right now with the FSI that is available in hand, once we complete the second tower in Powai, we are likely to sort of exhaust all FSI that could potentially be available. I've also shared in the past that we don't have any desire to acquire a land parcel to build a standalone office asset. I must, however, add that in Koramangala, which has residential towers, we were able to carve out one extra land parcel where we're building an office tower, not very large, 1.5 lakh sq ft only, which is the own asset that we will build and sell at, strata basis. Beyond that, nothing else as we stand right now.
Sure, sir. Thanks, and best of luck for Q1.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Paresh Shah from Prerna Thirst Investments. Please go ahead.
Sir, I have one question about the debt which is required for CapEx. Are you planning to do any QIPs to reduce either the debt or for the CapEx plan you envisage?
So I'll let Milind.
Are you trying to bring in equity to reduce the risk element going forward? Because I have been hearing a lot of concerns, or rather little bit of anxiety for debt related to our company.
So Paresh bhai, thank you for the question. I'll let Milind come in with the exact numbers, but let me give you an overview. Our debt is going to go down very rapidly in the next couple of years because of the operationalized asset that we have, the LRDA effect, and the fact that a lot of the projects are coming to culmination as we speak now. Having said that, right now there is no plan to raise any fresh equity in the company because we really don't need it. You've got to remember, equity is far more expensive than debt for any company. And from that perspective, we'd like to optimize the balance sheet for most optimal returns, and we'd like to leverage to an extent that is most efficient. And that's our thesis, and we continue to stick to that.
So Paresh, we have debt of around 2,400 crore today. We expect it will peak out to 2,650, and then it will start reducing. We have Koramangala residential project, which will start open it for sales, and this is expected to generate cash of 600 crores in next 3 years, which will be used to fund our CapEx in the future years. And we believe internal accruals, which we are expected to generate in next 3-4 years, will take care of our CapEx.
Okay. So from this reply, one more question which comes to my mind is the commercial leasing part what we have, are you exploring to get a good value for the shareholders in terms of putting it in REIT kind of an instrument?
So Paresh bhai, I think as an opportunity, it exists. At this point of time, we see no need to do that. These are going to be high-yielding assets for Chalet Hotels.
Absolutely.
And there's no reason to pass, transfer them to a REIT when we are getting very good returns from them. So right now, no such plans. But if, at any point of time, suppose there's an opportunity for a large platform acquisition in hospitality space, this remains as an available currency for us to monetize at the given time.
Okay. So do you think that you are looking for a proper kind of a lease rental, then it kicks in, or as of now you have not thought on this?
No, we are expecting a significant amount of EBITDA contribution to come from these assets. As we shared earlier, I mean, you could remember that out of the total 3 million square foot, 2 million square foot lies in the high rent yielding city of Mumbai, and 1 million in Bangalore and Whitefield. And if you really do the math on it, you'll realize that the returns are extremely healthy on the investment over here. and there's no reason for us to look at them adversely from any angle.
No, I'm thinking from the value creation for the shareholder, because many times when it is captured in a company in consolidation, the value doesn't get discovered for this kind of instrument. That was my only concern.
So EBITDA flow through is going to create shareholder value for sure, and it's significantly EBITDA flow through. If you do just do the math at the numbers that we shared with you, and you must remember, why did we do this? There's a genesis to this. The genesis to this is that, number one, we wanted to de-risk the cyclical facility of the hospitality industry. Rental and annuity business tends to de-risk that. In fact, during the COVID period, the fact that we were able to report EBITDA positive results in our company for every quarter during that year, it was on the back of rental yields that we were getting from assets on the annuity business. So I think this is a good edge to any risk that we may have in hospitality. People diversify in various forms. This is our form of diversification. And not only are we diversifying and hedging the risk, we are also creating significant value for shareholders in form of EBITDA earnings.
Okay, sir. Thank you, sir, for your reply, and wishing you very best. And we are really happy with the strategies what you have put in play for the shareholders. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, kindly restrict your questions to two at a time. We have a question from the line of Sumant Kumar from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Can you talk about G20 benefit to SALE in the past couple of quarters?
Hi, Sumant. So look, I think every hotel company has had the benefit of G20 business. It comes in two forms. One, direct bookings that come to your hotel. And the second form is where other hotels get sold out, creating compression in the market, which leads to your hotels enjoying the benefit of other bookings being diverted to you, and typically at a much higher rate. So we've had the benefit on both counts at all cities, whether it was Hyderabad, Bangalore, Pune, or Mumbai.
So any quantification or some the occupancy rate or any market dynamic change in, say, Mumbai and...
I can go around quantifying it, but, you know, it won't serve the purpose, because even if my competitor takes the G20 business, the spillover effect to me is very positive. And then how do you quantify that? So, therefore, I would rather not quantify. All I can say is it has helped all cities. And I want to highlight one thing here. G20 is not about just this year. Having these few events across the country over the year is the smaller benefit of G20. I think the bigger benefit of G20 is the mileage that India is getting from the investor community and the global community to see India in a different light, in a more positive way, which is going to be beneficial to us in long term.
Can you talk about, is there any decline or some slowdown in foreign customer mix for in Q4?
Not at all. In fact, they've gone up.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Nihal Jham from Nuvama. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you so much and congratulations on this performance. My first question was on the foreign mix that you've given also. The number, as you said, is 37% for Q4, but this includes the impact of maybe no hotel getting commission, which is mainly a domestic-driven hotel. Would it be possible to give a ballpark sense of how this number is if we do it on a like-to-like basis versus pre-COVID?
I'm afraid I don't have that number, but it is lower. As we said, the foreign airline traffic, passenger load, is only 90% recovery to pre-pandemic times. So there will be a reduction. But look, at the end of the day, we are not looking at whether it's foreigner or Indian. Our preference is for anyone who gives us a premium to on our room rates. And if today the domestic market is giving us a premium to the room rates, we would go in favor of them. So it's not as if it is 37% only because that was the only business available in the market. It could also be that you displaced some of the foreign business which with higher yielding domestic business, and that's what's led to our growth. I can give you a clear example on that. The airline crew that we used to have earlier was significantly higher than what we have now. and they used to typically come at a lower rate, and they were in large volumes, large numbers. So from that perspective, I think we've been able to optimize our average room rates and thereby the RevPAR. A quick number that we were looking for earlier, Bangalore is actually back to 66% of its guests being foreigners in the month of March 23, and Hyderabad is at 50%.
And was this the number pre-COVID also, 66 and 50 for Bangalore and Hyderabad?
The 66%, Hyderabad was marginally higher. I think it was 55 or so.
So just one clarification here was that even the earlier participant asked that the number moved from 41 to 37 from Q3 to Q4. Ideally, the Jan to March period, if you look at the India FTA calendar, sees more foreign arrivals. Not sure how it works out for you, but is there anything worth noting there that the 41 moving to 37 in terms of the mix of customers?
No, I think what has happened is the occupancy has gone up in general. So therefore, you're seeing that ratio skewed. But if you look at the occupancy, it's gone up about 700 bips? 900 bips? 900 bips is the occupancy improvement. So that could have led to this change. I don't think the absolute number has gone down. It's actually probably stayed slightly above only.
Point taken. So one final question is?
My colleague, that the absolute number is 62,000 room nights for both quarters, which is exactly the same.
Okay, that's helpful. Just final question, Sanjay, was that on the cost base, how do you see FY24? Is this a normalized cost base? Only because if we are in a strong cycle, is there a case for higher than expected inflation in a lot of line items, or just your sense of the same?
So, I don't see any reason why the cost will go up from where they are today. I think we must highlight here that in the last quarter, our variable costs as a percentage to revenue were 3% lower than Q3. So if anything, I think inflation is cooling off a bit. And similarly, fixed costs were also 300 bips lower than Q3. So in both fronts, cost percentage to revenue seems to be more efficient in Q4 than it was in Q3. We don't have any significant insight into any further inflationary pressure on us.
Nihal, to add further, I mean, our two major cost heads, payroll, we were at 12% against as a percentage to revenue against 15% pre-pandemic, and HLP, heat, light, power, it was at 5.4 against 7% pre-pandemic. So these major costs, we are bringing it down.
These are two largest costs that we have in, operating costs that we have in.
Understood. That was it from my side. Wish you all the best, Sanjay. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. As there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Sanjay Sethi for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, everyone, for joining us for the call. I want to sort of reassure you that we are extremely excited about Chalet Hotels, especially by the fact that we've got a significant amount of CapEx work in progress, which is now coming to fruition, which will now contribute to our operating numbers. In addition to that, we've got some more projects that are coming online, which will again add, create value for our shareholders. And we are excited for everyone around, all around. We wish you all the best. Happy times to everyone.
On behalf of Chalet Hotels, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.